of the trumpet, the earth and the skies will split into pieces. All of creation will pass away, and the souls of those who have passed away will become unconscious. However, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to protect will remain in a state of consciousness. A period of time will elapse in this way. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 11th para was recited. The first quarter of the 11th para is a continuation of Surah At-Tawbah, which commenced in the 10th para, and in that we mentioned yesterday that the latter part of the 10th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the battle of Tabuk, which the announcement was made, it was time when it was intense heat, the journey was very long, the enemy, the Christians, the Romans were a very powerful, were regarded to be a very powerful army, and the time for harvesting the crop in Madinatul Munawwara was drawing very close, on which the livelihood of the Muslims and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum dependent. Because of this, it was a time of great test upon the Muslims to join this expedition, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made a general announcement, which means everybody had to participate in this battle. It was mentioned previously that those who were the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, some of them secured permission from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under false pretext and giving flimsy types of excuses that why they cannot participate in this expedition and in this jihad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever excuses were presented to him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted it, for which they even mocked at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whatever we say, he just believes us, whether it's the truth or not. That was mentioned already. Concerning those mu'mineen who genuinely had some excuse for not participating because of any physical handicap or because of some other reason, mention was made of them also. Also those who wanted to go out but could not afford any type of transport, they even came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking for assistance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who he could assisted by those that could not be assisted, they the tears swelled in their eyes because of grief and sorrow that they are not able to go out in the battle. So these were excuse types. Then the first verse of the 11th para makes mention of another group of the munafiqeen. This group of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they did not secure permission from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims departed towards Tabuk. However, they decided when the Muslims will return from Tabuk, then we will give our false excuses why we were absent from joining the expedition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before he reached Medina, on the way en route, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses which are in the beginning of the 11th para, يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ, that they will put their excuses forward to you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you will return to them. Tell them, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا, don't make excuses. لَنْ نُؤْمِنَ لَكُمْ, we will never believe you. قَدْ نَبَّأَنَا اللَّهُ مِنْ أَخْبَارِكُمْ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about your condition, that you are giving false excuses. Then, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them, that their excuses which they will be presenting will be false. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention concerning the muhajireen and the ansar, was-sabiqoon al-awwaloon, they were the forerunners in Islam. They were those who accepted Islam in the early stages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. And together with them, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, those that follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with sincerity, refers to all the mu'mineen up till the day of Qiyamah, who follow in the way and in the footpaths of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah ta'ala declares radiallahu anhum wa radu'an, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further on, Allah ta'ala makes mention, Allah has prepared for them the everlasting gardens of Jannat. In these verses there is a refutation to the Shias and the Rawafid, who revile the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and even attribute kufr to them. And they say after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, besides a handful, the rest of them all got involved in kufr and left the fold of Islam. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared His rida and His happiness with them, and Allah ta'ala has knowledge of the past, present and future, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared that I am happy with them, which means Allah ta'ala knew their conditions even in the future, and Allah would never have declared that He is happy with them if they were to now leave the fold of Islam after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So there is clear refutation of this wrong concocted beliefs of the Shias, which up till today they still hold, and they revive the illustrious Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We should not fall victim to all their propaganda and evils, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are our guiding stars, each one of them. They were not Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. They made mistakes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure that Allah ta'ala granted them the tawfiq of mending their ways before they passed away, and each Sahabi radiallahu anhum is a guiding star for us and passed away on a state of Iman. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention, continuing with this battle of Tabuk, those sincere Muslims who for some reason also did not participate in the battle of Tabuk, although they did not have a valid excuse. Yesterday I mentioned that there were five of them. It was a mistake on my part. There were actually 10 of them. However, the 10 of them are divided into two groups, 7 on one side and 3 on the other side. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of both these groups of the sincere Muslims who just kept on procrastinating in preparing for going out for the battle of Tabuk, and eventually the Muslim army had departed and they made no arrangements, and a Muslim army was gone and they could not join the expedition because of some laziness on their part, or for whatever reason they just delayed in preparing. Concerning them, they regretted why they did not join the expedition, and because they seemed that the only people remaining in Madinatul Munawwara now were the hypocrites and those Muslims who had genuine excuses for not joining the expedition. So they regretted, and when they heard that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims are returning, then 7 of them from the 10, they tied themselves up with the pillars of the Masjid al-Nabawi, and they said that we will not untie ourselves until announcement of our Tawbah is not made and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, acceptance of our Tawbah is not made and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not untie us with his own hands. In other words, they were genuinely struck with grief, they sincerely repented, and this to show their remorse and repentance, this is what they did. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived back into Madinatul Munawwara, asked about their condition and was told about them, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, then in that case, I will also not untie them till I don't get news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the acceptance of their Tawbah. On that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, in which the acceptance of the Tawbah was mentioned, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them and untied them also. So these were the 7 from the 10. The remaining 3, Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Murara ibn Rabi' radiallahu anhu, and Hilal ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu. These 3 Sahaba radiallahu anhu did not do this. But they also did not present any false excuses to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they had no valid excuse also why they did not participate. So concerning them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed another verse, وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And some others from the Muslimin, their matter was deferred, was postponed till the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either Allah will punish them or either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn towards them and accept the Tawbah. Anyway, their matter was postponed, and for 50 days, no announcement was made concerning the acceptance of the Tawbah. Although they had remorse and regret why they did not join the expedition, and for 50 days the Muslims were told to completely disassociate themselves from these 3 people to the extent that nobody must even make salam to them, and nobody must even return their salam and answer their salam. This was the condition concerning these three Sahaba radiallahu anhum. After 50 days, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا, in which Allah ta'ala says towards the end of that ayat, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. Allah ta'ala turned His attention of mercy towards them so that they can repent, and their repentance was then accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their condition, that in those 50 days what went through them, what conditions they had to go through. Allah ta'ala mentions, إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ, that the earth became narrow upon them despite it being so vast. In other words, that nobody, even their own family members, were not prepared to even speak to them and make salam to them also. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ, and even their own souls became narrow and constricted upon them. They became frustrated with themselves. And وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ, and they were convinced that there is no place of safety and refuge now from Allah إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ, but towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the condition, but eventually the announcement of the Tawbah was made after 50 days. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in between mentions concerning the conspiracy of the munafiqeen, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those days was preparing to go for Tabuk, but what happened was that prior to even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, there was a Christian, a very staunch Christian by the name of Abu Rahib, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he was a very staunch Christian, and then and he refused to acknowledge the truthfulness of Islam and of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah, he even came to meet and debate with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and refused to accept whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put forward to him concerning the truthfulness of Islam or concerning the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became such an enemy of Islam that he actually vowed that whoever will now come to fight the Muslims, I will be on their side. And actually, from the time of the Battle of Badr, right up till the 8th year of Hijri, the Battle of Hunayn, in every battle he sided with the enemies of Islam, the Kuffar, the Mushrikeen. But when the Battle of Hunayn took place, and the Muslims were given a victory there also, he became despondent. He started losing hope and he went away from Madinatul Munawwara. He refused to stay further in Madinatul Munawwara and went to Sham, which was at that time the stronghold of the Christians. From there he continued conspiring against the Muslims, and he was instigating the leaders of the Christians there, the Romans, that they must go off, invade Madinatul Munawwara and destroy the Muslims once and for all. So for that purpose, he secretly communicated with the munafiqeen, the hypocrites of Madinatul Munawwara, and he told them that they must now prepare the ground for the imminent attack from the Romans, and they must give ground support to the invading army against the Muslims. The munafiqeen, they were the enemies of Islam, so they built a so-called masjid in Quba, that which they called a masjid, but in reality it was a base from which they wanted to plot and plan against the Muslims and also store their weapons in anticipation for the army of the Romans and the Christians to come, and they will give them that support. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this masjid Masjid al-Dirar. In other words, it is known as Masjid al-Dirar. In reality, it wasn't a masjid. To camouflage their plans, they even came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must come there, he must inaugurate the masjid, he must perform a salat there, and now make it like an official masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was preparing for Tabuk, so he told them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unaware of their conspiracies. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that, look, at the moment I'm very busy, when I come back from Tabuk, then we will see. In the meantime, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from from Tabuk, even before reaching Madinatul Munawwara, these verses were then revealed. Allah ta'ala says that those who have made the masjid for the purpose of harming Islam and the Muslims, and for the purpose of propagating their kufr, and to cause dissension and disunity amongst the Muslimin, and in anticipation for the person who is at war with Allah and His Rasul from before. Referring to that Christian Abu Rahim, that he is the one who was actually conspiring to do all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clearly that this masjid is not a masjid. This is the, these are the objectives of constructing that building. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when these verses were revealed, and the reality of the situation came to the fore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then dispatched a group of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, while still returned to Medina, that go directly to Quba, and where the so-called masjid is, completely demolish it and torch it. And this is what happened. That whole building was razed to the ground, and this a conspiracy of the munafiqeen was exposed. Further on, Allah Ta'ala in the same incident mentions, لا تقوم فيه أبدا. Don't ever stand in prayer in that masjid. Why? Because the actual masjid of Quba is such a masjid, la masjidun ussisa ala taqwa. That it has been established on the basis of taqwa from the first day. أحق أن تقوم فيه is more worthy that you stand in prayer in that masjid. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the people of Quba that fihi rijalu yuhibbuna an yatatahharu. That in that masjid, the actual original masjid of Quba, are such people who love to remain extremely pure. According to the ahadith, well, the reason why they have been praised, besides that they have the purity of Islam, etc. in them, but besides that they took great precaution when making istinja. They used to make istinja not only with mud lumps, but also use water. And we all know through water, you get more cleanliness than just using mud lumps. And in today's times in the Western world, they only use tissue paper, and they feel they have cleaned themselves thoroughly. In reality, that this is the way, that if there is water available also, although without water you can still acquire purity when making istinja. So from this we understand how important also is that we should take the necessary precautions when making istinja. In the books of ahadith and in the books of fiqh, details have been mentioned. Many ahadith concerning the importance and also the manner of making istinja. We should be particular about this, because on that depends the correctness of our salat and also the acceptance of our salat. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the verse, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى. That it is not befitting and correct for the Nabi and for the mu'mineen that they ask for forgiveness on behalf of the mushrikeen, even though they may be their relatives, after it has become clear to them that they are the dwellers of Jahannam. This verse was revealed at the time when the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, he passed away on the state where he was not on Iman. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather passed away, in whose custody and care Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Abu Talib took upon himself to look after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he looked after him so well and protected him also, even better than his own children. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ardent desire was that somehow my uncle also must be blessed with this wealth of Iman and the light of Iman. Despite repeated efforts and persuasion, despite Abu Talib's also inclination towards Islam, but because of his popularity as one of the leaders, and he refused then to accept Iman and passed away without Iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very grief-stricken on this incident, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will continue making istighfar on behalf of my uncle until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids me to do so. And it was this verse that was revealed, that even though they might be your close relatives, and no matter how well they were with you, but if they died without Iman, and there is surety about that, it is not permissible to make istighfar on their behalf. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the verse, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That all believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Develop within yourself the quality of taqwa. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And stay with the sadiqeen, those that are truthful, those that are righteous. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the prescription of how to develop this quality of taqwa within ourselves, that we should remain in the company of the sadiqeen. The sadiqeen, who are they? They are those who are truthful in their intentions, in their actions, in every aspect of theirs. They are true, and the external and the internal is the same. The external and the internal does not, one does not deny the other. They are the true sadiqeen, whom we call the Allah wala, the buzurgs, those who have the special contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So company has a tremendous effect on a person, and here we are exhorted to stay in the company of the righteous and the pious. Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and understanding and realization that how important this is. Another very important aspect which we learn from our mashayikh, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, which means the sadiqeen will remain till the end of time. Thus, sometimes we hear these statements, that where there's buzruk nowadays, they have all passed away, you don't see anybody today. No, sadiqeen will be there, or else this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then have to be rendered few times, na'udhu billah. Whereas Allah ta'ala has given this command, which means there will be sadiqeen. Only thing, we have to look for them and stay in their company. And in this way, we will develop this quality of taqwa, all important quality of taqwa within ourselves. Further on, Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ مُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً. The importance and the significance of, and the virtue of acquiring the knowledge of deen is referred to in this ayat. Allah ta'ala says that all the mu'mineen should not simultaneously all together go out to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of jihad, if it is not farza'een, the battle of Tabuk, for each person to go out, it was farza'een, obligatory on an individual basis. But generally at the time of jihad, it is farz-e kifaya, which we can call a collective obligation. In a collective obligation, if some of them fulfill that obligation, the rest of the people will be absolved of fulfilling that obligation. For example, the salat-e janaza is farz-e kifaya. If some do it, then the rest of them will be absolved from the responsibility. So Allah Ta'ala says that why doesn't a group of amongst you stay behind so that they can gain a thorough understanding and proficiency in deen, concerning the knowledge of deen, so that they can pass on this knowledge to those when they return to them who have gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the importance of knowledge of deen is emphasized, that a group has to always remain and fulfill this responsibility of acquiring the knowledge of deen. In the explanation of this verse and the link with the previous verses is that just as it is necessary for the Muslims to break the strength of the kuffar through jihad, similarly it is also necessary for the Muslims to strengthen the foundations of deen upon which the entire structure of deen depends on. And this will be through the knowledge of deen. Because the entire structure of deen and administration of an Islamic government depends on this. And without that, the administration of the Islamic government in the form of governors, in the form of judges, in the form of those who can show people what is right and wrong, there is a need for that. So the importance of the knowledge of deen has been explained in this verse. In the hadith also it comes that person who has been given the knowledge of deen, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes good for, Allah ta'ala grants him a thorough understanding of deen. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, Allah ta'ala grants him that faqahat of deen. In the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions surah Yunus. Why the incident of Yunus alayhi salam is mentioned? It is a Makki surah, and as explained in the Makki surahs which were revealed before Hijrah, the fundamentals of deen are explained, that is Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. In this surah, particular emphasis is also on the truthfulness and on the veracity of the Quran and Majid. Allah Ta'ala mentions many of his great signs in his creation, in the sense that Allah Ta'ala explains all his great creations, in which there is clear evidence of the great qudrat and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions the weakness of insan, that insan is such that they call us at times of, call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times of difficulty and adversity. Jambihi aw qa'idan aw qa'ima, lying down and sitting and standing. فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ دُرَّهُ, but when Allah Ta'ala says we remove from them their adversity and difficulty, مَرَّ, they carry on, كَأَلَّمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَىٰ ضُرِّ مَسَّهُ, as if they never called out to us in difficulty which afflicted them. Which means at times of prosperity, then they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a weakness which we should not fall victim to. We should all call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, whether conditions of adversity or prosperity. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the example of this worldly life, that it is like a rain which comes down from the sky, mixes and mingles with the vegetation of the earth, which mankind and animals eat, till the point where the earth takes the form of its splendor and beauty, when the vegetation starts growing, how nice it looks. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And the owners of that piece of land on which this crops are growing, they are convinced that now they have now control over it, and very soon they will harvest it and make great profits. Allah Ta'ala says, before that, our order comes at night or at day, in a form of any type of natural calamity. And Allah Ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا. And that entire plantation and crop, we make it like harvested harvested crop, and which is now completely cut off, and كَأَلَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ, as if it did not even exist yesterday. Completely wiped out. So this is the example of the worldly life. إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That person is born, he grows up, he comes into the prime of his youth and strength, and beauty slowly then decline comes in the form of middle age and then old age, and in a matter of a few years, 50, 60, whatever it is, and he is gone. So this is the worldly life, a very short period of life. Therefore, whatever life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, we should now, we should appreciate it and fulfill the purpose of our creation. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of those who do good. Allah Ta'ala says we will grant them Jannah and also extra, wa ziyada. And that extra is the greatest ni'mat of Jannah, which is the occasion where we are able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala calls it wa ziyada. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some incidents concerning the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the incident of Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam and his nation, and also that of Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam was sent to a nation in a place called Mosul, which occurs in present day Iraq. These people refused to accept the message of truth. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam told them, a punishment of Allah Ta'ala will afflict you within 3 days. And Yunus alayhi salam then left that town and city. The people, seeing Yunus alayhi salam is gone, and some signs of the punishment approaching in the form of dark clouds, etc., they realize that if they don't mend their ways, they got a problem, the punishment will definitely afflict them, and they sincerely repented. Yunus alayhi salam was unaware of this, and he boarded a ship, and the ship came into problems because of heavy winds and rough seas, with the result that the sailors then said that definitely there is a runaway slave amongst us. And they threw lots, and every time Yunus alayhi salam's name came out, and then Yunus alayhi salam cast himself, they knew they were going to throw him into the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered a big fish to swallow Yunus alayhi salam, and that is why in the Quran and Majid at two places, Yunus alayhi salam is called the Nun, the person of the fish. Why? And then Allah ta'ala then protected Yunus alayhi salam in the stomach of the fish. The incident comes elsewhere in different places. Inshallah, we will touch on that later on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then saved him. So because of this incident, this surah also has been called Surah Yunus.